The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the smartwaytobuy.com studios.
Good morning. Welcome to your Monday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo, produced by Frank Morano, with news guy Al Gattulo, and traffic with Debbie Duhaime. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970. The Answer.
Off Matt Sam Bolin's playlist, that was Prince. Matt, are you a big Prince fan, Matt?
Not a big Prince fan, but I mean, I like a lot of his work.
Okay. Well, good morning for those of you just tuning in. This is the Joe Piscopo Show, but you are not hearing Joe Piscopo's sweet voice this morning. You are instead hearing the voice of Councilman Joe Borelli filling in, doing the best job we can, although we don't have Frankie Five Burrows. We don't have Big Al Gattulo. We have Matt Sam Bolin. Hi, Roland Sam Bolin on the ones and twos. We got the boys in the fish tank behind us. We got Matt Conklin and Charlie Baldy. Say good morning, guys.
Good morning, Joe. Well, how are you?
You know, they never get to say anything,
no,
these guys.
This is
a big honor for them. We keep them relegated in the corner. Did you guys get the invitation to Frank's New Year's Eve party?
Yes, I did, and the email was very, very long.
I actually didn't get invited, but I read the email, and it seemed about as long as his party probably was.
This is weird. I got the email, so most people here got the email, but Matt, I mean, you've probably known Frank, you know, pretty long, and
right.
You didn't get the email, huh?
I did not get the. I had to get it forwarded by someone else.
And it's a shame too, because as we broke in the 6 o'clock hour, some really incredible news. Frank Morano, familiar to all of our listeners, Frankie Five Burrows, has asked his beloved Rachel O'Brien of Long Island, New York, to be his wife, and she has responded yes. So big congratulations once again to Frank and Rachel. By the way, has anyone other than me gone to a Frank Morano New Year's Eve party? Has anyone gone?
I have not.
It is quite the experience. Now, Frank starts planning this probably early in January, you know, for the following year. And it's a really strange event. I mean, it's a wine and cheeser. I start there. It's a wine and cheeser. Now, Frank goes down about, you know, 2 or 3 days in advance. He rents a house. Now, in Atlantic City, they give away hotel rooms, by the way. You could pretty much get a hotel room for free. If you pay a little bit, you can get a suite for free.
But, well, when you pay the penny slots like I do, you don't get any free
When you're
rooms.
High-rolling Sam Bolin, I mean, you just think they give you the spa, the luxe treatment, the comfy slippers, and the robe. I mean, every time you go down there.
No.
Boxing tickets, the whole thing.
Nope, not me.
Well, so Frank goes down there about, you know, 2 or 3 days in advance, right? He went down there this Friday for a party that's happening last night. And he rents a house. He invites a whole bunch of people, by the way. And there is more cheese at this party than you can possibly imagine. I'm talking 20, maybe 25, maybe 30. I think our good friend Arthur Idala, you know, always on the show, our fans would know him. Arthur, I think, alone brought down 10 different types of Italian cheeses tonight. Now, the crowd is even more diverse as the cheese. you have an eclectic mix of, you know, number one, you have Morano friends and family. You have Hank, the listener. I mean, you heard Hank. I mean, I know you're listening, Hank. Hank was there. I mean, everyone's invited. You have interesting characters from the show. You have people like John Tobacco, you know, always putting some spice, always, you know, adding some interesting things. You have a host of federal criminal defendants who just show up, former gangsters, you know, criminal defense attorneys, judges. You have obscure politicians, obscure. Now, Congressman Dan Donovan was there this year. He witnessed the Morano engagement. But now he's a mainstream pop. I mean, he's a Republican member of Congress. When I say obscure politicians that Frank knows, I'm talking about, you know, not even the mayor of Atlantic City. I mean, he has the former mayor of Atlantic City, Don Guardian, there. But he also will have, you know, some obscure state senator from Rhode Island who ran once on some wacky reform party, you know, and the most irrelevant politicians in the world will be at Frank's party. And odd things happen. Odd things happen at this party. So Frank will go there 2 days ahead of time. He will go check in to multiple rooms. He'll go, he'll get a free room at the Borgata, he'll get a free room at Caesars, at Harris, he'll check in his own name, and then he'll dole these rooms out to friends and family who want to come down. Now, the odd thing is, there's not much sense to who he gives the room to, right? Now, Matt, I know you, you know me. Suppose we both were participating in the New Year's Eve festivities. Maybe he would pair us up in a room. No big deal. But he pairs the most oddest people. Now, one time, our friend Rich Hoffman, a Washington, D.C. Republican staffer, was given a room by Frank. Here you go, Rich. Here's your room at the Borgata. You know, it'd be ready when you go to bed. Rich goes to bed, and in the bed, in the king-size bed, is an elderly woman that he's never seen before. It turns out that Frank also gave a key to this room to a random elderly woman that he had met at a blackjack table and just told her that, you know, here's a room for you if you want to stay overnight. And by the way, some random person might come in and sleep in the bed with you. So Rich just got in the bed. I mean, he wasn't going to drive home back to Washington, D.C. He just got in the bed with this random person. I mean, this is the kind of thing that just happens at the Frank Morano New Year's Eve party. That's why, in large part, I'm very happy to be here on the radio station, safe and sound, with the three of you guys getting ready for my own New Year's Eve party. Again, if you're just filling in, this is Councilman Joe Borelli filling in for Joe and the gang. If you want to call us and give us your New Year's Eve fondest memories, your New Year's Eve fondest memories, your predictions for 2018, we're here, 877-970-2999. I want to go right now to Dr. Anthony from Long Island City. Dr. Anthony, first of all, what are you a doctor of?
I'm a doctor of education, sir.
Excellent, excellent. Very nice to hear you and very nice to speak to you. And we're about to win a battle to get a firehouse back open in Long Island City, by the way. Just throwing myself a hat tip. But what do you want to say about de Blasio?
Well, first of all, he's certainly not, he's not a Giuliani, that's for sure. And he makes a lot of mistakes. And him and I did battle several times over the school system. And publicly, I called him out. And publicly, he always dodges my questions because, as a school principal, former, 34 years, assistant principal, teacher, principal, testing coordinator for the borough of Queens, he can't play dodgeball with me. I know where all the skeletons are hidden, and I know when a system runs properly and when the system does not run properly. And this system is not running the way it should.
Well, I think that's an understatement to say the least. Thank you, Dr. Anthony, and Happy New Year, and best to you and your family. But, you know, he is right. I mean, there are so many skeletons in the de Blasio closet. I mean, right now, you know, people don't realize this. Right now, there's this corruption case that's being billed as an NYPD corruption case, a police captain named James Grant. You probably have seen the headlines. There was, an illicit woman of the night, let's say. There was airline. I mean, it was front page of the Post. The reason this was all being investigated was the Southern District of New York was trying to expose corruption between these de Blasio donors and Bill de Blasio. And yet it's not Bill de Blasio on trial. It's not, in this case, it's not the police commissioner, the former police commissioner, Bill Bratton. It's not the chief of department at the time, Philip Banks. But it is an obscure police precinct captain who just simply said, no, I'm not going to take a plea deal. I'm going to go to trial with this. The things he was accused of doing are things like helping a friend get their paperwork completed by the licensing department, giving someone a desk appearance ticket rather than arresting them, which is under the completely within the discretion of a police captain, giving community leaders police escorts. These are things that the police department does as a matter of practice every day. And yet we have this one police officer, Jimmy Grant, in full disclosure, I know Jimmy, but he's on trial. And just the people who these donors were trying to influence and giving money to in big amounts weren't the obscure precinct captain. They were Bill de Blasio. They were Philip Banks. They were Bill Bratton. It's just incredible to see. Again, our number is 877-970-2999. We have great guests coming up this hour. We got John Strasbourg, who is just wrote a book that I just started reading. It's a fantastic book. Looking forward to have him on the World War II generation. We got Lee Zeldin, congressman extraordinaire from Long Island. We got Joe Esposito, one-time chief of the police department, uncorruptible. By the way, I'll just say that in talking about police corruption, but someone who knew how to deal with community leaders, politicians, and the sort. So give us a call, 877-970-2999. Let's give these guys a chance to talk. I mean, you know, like I said when I first started out, Charlie and Matt never get to come on. Let's start with you, Charlie, because you seem like the smarter of the two.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Thank you.
What are your New Year's plans?
Tonight I'm going to my girlfriend's house to watch the ball drop on TV.
Well, that's nice. So why wouldn't you go to Times Square?
Because I don't want to be packed with a bunch of foreigners that are...
And like, he forgot his diaper.
Right. So right. So Charlie is xenophobic. So you're not going to go to Times Square because of open xenophobia. Matt, what are your plans?
Well, I will never, ever go to Times Square on New Year's Eve because, I mean, that's like the worst time I can possibly imagine. Tonight, rather than getting wild and maybe partaking in some drinking, sorry, Mom and Dad, I'm actually going to spend tonight with my mom and dad and my brother, my grandmothers. Just going to have a nice, chill night at home.
Very nice of you guys. Very nice of you. Matt, we already heard your depressing New Year's Eve. We already heard your depressing New Year's Eve plans. I mean, me, on the other hand, I will be going out to not one but two parties, one by my friend and a friend of this show, Councilman Vinny Ignizio. Throwing a nice bash. We'll be doing some deep frying out in the backyard, I imagine. And then my dear friend Victoria is throwing a party right down the block from our house. So we have a big New Year's Eve set.
Nice and convenient. What does Joe Borelli drink on New Year's Eve?
Joe Borelli on most days drinks single malt scotch, champagne, Cabernet wine. Very infrequently do I drink beer. If Al were here right now, he'd probably laugh at me because when I do drink beer, I drink Budweiser, just a big gulp of America with every sip. In fact, one of our guests in the 9 o'clock hour, Scott Lebedo, just was contracted to paint this giant, 150-foot giant Budweiser sign on the roof of a Budweiser plant down in Texas. So we'll have to talk to him about that. But again, we got a great show coming up for you today. We got great guests this hour. This is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo. We just broke some major news last hour. Frank Morano not here, celebrating New Year's Eve. And to repeat again, he has asked his lovely girlfriend to marry him, and she has said yes. So let's all give it up for Frank Morano. Next hour, we also have some interesting things coming up. As far, we're going to do some countdowns of the least covered stories of 2018. We're going to talk about some New Year's Eve traditions. In the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be speaking with Scott Lobato, as I mentioned, and we'll also be speaking with James Skoufis, currently a New York State Assemblyman, for the next 18 hours, at which point he will be a New York State Senator-elect. And right now, let's toss it over to Susie. Susie, how are we looking for my commute home in about 2 hours?
I think your commute home in about 2 hours should be A-OK. It's pretty light out there generally. We do have a couple of things going on. We do have an accident on the Deegan South at 179th Street. That area seems to be land of the lost if something happens in that neck of the woods. But the right lane's still out on the Deegan Southbound, so watch out for that. At least the Cross Bronx is OK in both directions, from the Bronx River Parkway to the George Washington Bridge. The closure's already set and in place in and around Times Square, so forget about driving in that area till about 1 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's when we've got those closures in place. Checking the George Lincoln and Holland, they're all lighting up to speed. Alternate side in effect today. 280 East, so at exit 16, this nasty accident's going to be there a while longer. Just the right lane and the right shoulder getting by. We may have this for the next couple of hours. Crash in Woodbridge on the Parkway South, but at exit 132, that is off onto the right shoulder. And then in Old Bridge Township, 9 North and at Poor Farm Road, the right lane is blocked again. That's ongoing cleanup from an accident that was involving a car fire. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerone on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, we're here with Alexander Green, four-time best-selling author and chief investment strategist of the Oxford Club. Alex is a stock-picking legend. He calls six of the best stocks of the past 20 years, including Apple, Intuitive Surgical, Netflix, Verion, Amazon, and Celgene. Now, Alex, I understand you're targeting a new stock.
Yes, it's a cutting-edge tech company making blockbuster deals. I'm talking about $450 million with Nokia, $395 million with Microsoft, and a $29.2 billion deal with Apple. The company is set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America, and Donald Trump himself even calls what they're doing the eighth wonder of the world. Yet you've likely never even heard of it because this $3 stock trades under a secret name.
Alex just got on stage in front of a packed crowd to talk about this secret stock, and you can see his free presentation at onestockretirement.com. Don't wait on this. We expect the stock to make big national news on December 17th. Go to onestockretirement.com now.
If you're a firm believer that education is a top priority in helping shape our children to be the future leaders of tomorrow, then you'll be excited to know that AM 970 The Answer has developed a program to help parents send their children to the best Christian schools in the area. The half-off tuition program is a way for parents to send their children to school at half the cost of the annual tuition. We've partnered up with some of the leading schools in the New York, New Jersey metro area. This is a great way for parents to reduce the costs and still have their children receive a quality education. AM 970 The Answer is also offering each school the opportunity to promote their school with a full radio advertising campaign. This is just our way to say thank you to the parents and schools that already know the importance of a good education. For more information, go to am970theanswer.com and click on the discount tuition banner. Here are just a few of the schools available: Eastern Christian Elementary School, Flushing Christian School, Gateway Academy. Once again, go to am970theanswer.com for the full listing of schools.
Eric Metaxas, the show about everything, coming up tonight at 11 on AM 970, The Answer.
Portions of this show sponsored by Hudson Honda.
This song, Glenn Miller in the Mood. This is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo on this little gloomy New Year's Eve, a little wet and rainy. I want to bring in our next guest, John Strasbaugh, author of the new book, Victory City, A History of New York and New Yorkers During World War II. I just want to be honest about how this book came across my radar, really. So I have a cousin, Michael, who's probably listening right now. Cousin Michael, if you're listening, you could text me when this is done. He lives out in South Slope. And every holiday, you know, we give each other a token gift, a bottle of wine or something like that. But the real gift I find with him and with my my other cousin's husband, Chris, is that, you know, every time we talk, we trade restaurant tips and new podcasts and, most importantly, books. And my cousin Michael, he told me about this author who he saw speak at the Brooklyn Historical Society earlier this month, I think. And he told me about the book, and the concept really just hit me because we're losing this generation, this World War II generation. And, you know, as John points out in his book, there was 900,000 or so New Yorkers that served. And soon there'll be no one left with World War II and the World War II experience in their generation, in living memory. So I want to welcome John Strasbaugh. John, good morning. How are you? Happy New Year.
I'm good. And tell your cousin I love him.
Yeah, no, I certainly will. He certainly loved you. I mean, he told me about it. And I think, you know, the 2 days after Christmas, I was at the Fifth Avenue Barnes & Noble, and it looked like they had gotten a nice fresh stack of books in for you. And the display was very nice. They put your book in a good display. I know that probably you care about that, and they did a great job.
Oh, yeah, man. I think that's great.
So let me ask you, I mean, you heard why the topic's appealing to me, just as someone who had a mm-hmm. grandfather who served, who still has a grandmother and who values the stories of the Holocaust and everything. I mean, what made this topic jump out at you?
Well, my dad served. All the dads on my block served. I wasn't from New York. I'm from Baltimore. Everybody on the block had served. I was born in 1951, so we were right after it. So, you know, it's been fascinating to me all my life, basically. And then moving to New York, as I did about 30 years ago, I love New York City history. It's so rich and deep and messy and dirty and so New York City, you just can't get over it. So I've been picking at it over the last few books, just doing little bits and pieces of that history. And the World War II history is great because it's that period where, in my opinion, New York really achieves its height of like, power and influence in the world, even as the whole world is falling apart all around it. So it's a fascinating period.
And I know you covered the Civil War in your last book, and that's yeah. a period that it's very unique from a New York perspective because New York was so unlike many of the other cities in the North. And fun fact, Staten Island, I'm very proud where I'm from, was home yeah. of, you know, more training camps for the Union Army than just about any other county. So, you know, we do have this rich history. But you also speak about not just the city of New York, but of the contribution of New Yorkers themselves, famous New Yorkers, obviously the president. But can you talk about some of these famous New Yorkers who contributed to really the presidency of Roosevelt through the Depression and, of course, the war effort?
Yeah, yeah. And what I love about doing these kind of books is that you can kind of rediscover people who were really important in their day but have kind of faded from history. So there's Harry Hopkins, who went from running the Christadora settlement house on the Lower East Side, or what we call the East Village now, to being FDR's right-hand man, the closest he had to a close friend. He lived in the White House. He was with him the entire time. And people called him the assistant president and the shadow because he was always there. And Harry basically, he was instrumental in creating the New Deal. And then he was instrumental in gluing together the Grand Alliance of Roosevelt and Churchill and Stalin to win the war. So Harry's huge, and you just don't hear as much about Harry anymore. And there are a lot of people like that. Dorothy Thompson, one of the great journalists of the day, she was the second most widely read and argued about journalist of the time under Walter Winchell, another New Yorker, by the way. But you don't hear about Dorothy much anymore. She was the first American journalist to be kicked out of Nazi Germany for criticizing Hitler. And then 5 years later, when the local Nazis, the German-American Bund, held that big rally in Madison Square Garden that we see in the newsreels a lot, She got kicked out of that for heckling the speakers there. So you got to like her. She heckled Nazis twice and got kicked out for it.
You know, you're right, too. And you, even as a New Yorker myself, you know, you pass by institutions and you don't think twice. And another name that popped up in your book was Bernard Baruch. And
yeah,
my dad went to Baruch. I've passed by the school. I've spoken at the school. I teach at a CUNY college of Staten Island, but I've spoken at Baruch.
Oh, great.
Attended events there, and even me as a historian, as someone with a history degree, I've never even considered who this person Baruch was, and I was fascinated to find out that he was a giant of his time. I mean, just a giant media person, a person talked about on the kitchen table of Americans.
In the Nazi press, they always considered him to be he was the Jewish bad influence on FDR through FDR's entire 12 years. He wasn't quite as influential as people thought at the time. He was a bit of a floater, but a very big deal. Everybody knew Bernard Baruch, and now we just know him, you know, it's the name of the school. And that happens all the time, and that's one of the things I love about doing this, is that you can, you know, you can bring those people back to the front.
And there was a chapter, I think it was the second chapter. I'm only up to chapter four. You have to forgive me. It's only been three
days.
Got a lot more to go. But I enjoyed your chapter on the Jewish population of New York.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was not this united mass. There were Zionists. There were
no.
Reformed Jews. And there wasn't consensus on how to even respond to Hitler as Jews.
It was the largest Jewish community in the world at the time. And yeah, it was, I mean, basically it was two communities. There were the uptown Jews, as they were called, who were mostly German Jewish and quite assimilated. A lot of them changed their names to fit in. And then there's the Lower East Side and Brooklyn Jews, who are Yiddish speaking. They're from Eastern Europe. They're more recent immigrants. And they have a very different, once it becomes clear what Hitler is doing to Eastern European Jews, which is slaughter everyone he can get his hands on, they're very passionate that the Allies should step in and do something about it. The uptown Jews are a little more, they don't want to cause trouble. There's a lot of anti-Semitism in the United States at the time, so they don't want to ruffle a lot of feathers. And Roosevelt's administration, he didn't even mention that the Holocaust was going on until after D-Day. So that's like June 1944, because he didn't want to make it seem like a war to save the Jews of Europe, because a lot of Americans would not have bought into that and been very enthusiastic about it. So there was a big split in the Jewish community in New York about how to deal with that. And we saw it play out in the
New York Times. I mean, they had a view that people, Jews today, still take issue with it to some degree. I mean, it is fascinating.
Yeah.
As a politician, I have to say the most interesting thing that I relearned and I've just forgotten about was how Fiorello LaGuardia was, you know, obviously a mountain of New York City politics in and of himself, but how he got clobbered in his first time out. I mean, it's just a fascinating it's inspiring as someone who's elected to office and will run again. And I'm glad you included that. I really am.
Yeah, he had to fight for it. And he was a fighter all his life.
It's fascinating. And so just going forward to modern times, you know, you see now, I'm sure you watch the news, I'm sure you read the papers, you see now that we oftentimes use the terms Nazi and fascist and communist to describe people, sometimes rightly, sometimes, you know, just as an exaggeration of someone we disagree with. When back in the period you write about in the 30s and 40s, they were actual Nazis and communists and all.
do you
think we over, can you talk about that a second? And then do you think we overuse these terms today?
Well, it is, you know, I don't think any history has to be relevant to today's headlines to be history that's good to know. All history is good to know. But I got to say, the whole time I was working on this book, the 2-3 years I was working on it, I was reading about these things in the headlines and in the news in, you know, 1933, 1941. And then at the end of the day, I'm looking at the newspapers of today, and these things are back in the news. It's kind of interesting. We do have some kind of there's definitely a neo-Nazi, at least a resurgence in the press. There's definitely a neo-fascist right-wing sort of resurgence, at least in the press. And we're dealing with Putin, who, you know, was a communist as long as there was communists. So it is, you know, there's that theory that time doesn't move in a straight line. It spirals around. So you come back around to where you were 50, 70, 80 years ago, and you find yourselves having to deal with issues that you thought you had. I mean, you know, we thought that we had just defeated all that. But here it is again.
Well, John, I want to say thank you. I'll say thank you on behalf of my cousin Michael, who got me on the book and who enjoyed the book.
Tell him I said thank
you. I certainly will, very much so. And if people want to get the book, they can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, anywhere else. Can they go on your website or anything?
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere.
Very good, very good. Guys, be sure to get Victory City, the History of New York, and New York is during World War II. Thank you very much. And right now we are going to go to Tom Note with the news.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
It's 41 degrees and mostly cloudy. What's going on? We have the answer. It'll be wet tonight for the ball drop in Times Square, but that's not expected to keep people away. LaSure and Word here traveled all the way up from Miami to experience the festivities firsthand.
You know, we see it, the ball drop all the time on TV, so I thought it would be an awesome experience, you know, just to see it in person. And it's kind of one of those bucket list things, you know. You got to do it before you die.
Well, of course, extensive security will be in place. The forecast is calling for rain and heavy rain at times. But despite that, be aware umbrellas are prohibited for those who plan on being in attendance. Well, you may not believe what's becoming a rather lucrative career here in New York City.
Cuddlists, as they're known, are earning about $80 an hour, even more on New Year's Eve, and requests have soared by 50% this past year. Practitioners say those willing to pay just to be cuddled, nothing more, are mostly middle-aged men between 40 and 60. Some clients are divorced, widowed, depressed, or just plain lonely. And according to Cuddlists.com, business because of the Me Too movement, and some men wanting to make sure they stay within appropriate boundaries. Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio, New York.
And sports, both the Jets and Giants lose yesterday. Traffic is tied up on Route 280 in Jersey. It has been tied up ever since a car carrier collided with two other vehicles early this morning. It's on the eastbound side, right at exit 17 in Harrison. Two lanes remain blocked off, delays back past exit 16. Also in Jersey, watch for a crash being worked on the shoulder of the Garden State Parkway south at exit 132. On the city side, we have a crash on the Deegan in the Bronx south at 179th Street. Keep your car well away from Times Square in Manhattan. Broadway and 7th Avenue are already closed through the 40s, as are the side streets. Parking rules are in effect. Rain will be developing later this afternoon. It'll last right through tonight, highs in the upper 40s. Now you know how not to go. I'm Tom Note on AM 970, The Answer.
Brought to you by Blue Emu. Blue Emu Lidocaine Cream and Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Cream. Both are deep penetrating and odor-free. Beat the pain two ways and live life. Blue Emu works fast and you won't stink. Available at nationwide retailers.
Don't miss all the excitement of Seton Hall Pirates basketball Wednesday when the Hall travels to Cincinnati to take on the Xavier Musketeers. Pregame at 6:20, the opening tip at 6:30. This is Dave Popkin. Join me along with John Fanta Wednesday night on AM 970 The Answer.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Everybody's making money at it except you. You're losing holiday business to your online competitors. Talk to us at Salem Surround, digital marketing experts who offer a free analysis of your online marketing effectiveness and suggest methods that could dramatically increase your sales coming out of this season. There are no limitations on where you can reach customers with Salem Surround, increasing sales dramatically. Learn more by logging on to SurroundNewYork.com. That's SurroundNewYork.com.
Don't miss the new afternoon drive show, Cats at Night, with John Catsimatidis, Wednesdays at 5 p.m., exclusively on AM 970, The Answer. In the year of the cat.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo for Plaza College. Ever notice during the holidays, your sons, daughters, nieces, and nephews, grandchildren are gaming and texting away at what seems like a mile a minute? Do you ever think, hey, they can only get paid for that? Well, people with natural dexterity, like gamers and musicians, tend to be great candidates for a career as a court reporter. And you know what else they can do? Closed captioning. Those words that come across the TV screen are actually typed out by real live people, not some machine. First, you have to know how to type on a machine called a stenowriter. The National Court Reporters Association's free program is called A to Z, and it is being hosted by Plaza College this month to introduce you to the writer and to the steno alphabet. It's a great opportunity to learn about court reporting and captioning to see if it's right for you. Call Plaza College, please. This is a fine institution. Mr. Callahan and the family have been around since 1916. Well, not Mr. Callahan, but Plaza College has. Call Plaza College now, 718-509-6399 or plazacollege.edu.
Mike Gallagher, live from our Wall Street studios.
Coming up at 10 a.m.
on AM 970, The Answer.
Live from the smartwaytobuy.com studios.
She'll lie and steal and cheat and beg you from her knees, make you think she needs it this time. She'll tear a hole in you.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo. You're listening to the Lumineers. Matt, I think the Lumineers, they're a New Jersey band. I think they're in our listening area. Metuchen, New Jersey. I think that's where they're from.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Metuchen, New Jersey. It's in Union County, I believe.
Okay. I don't know New Jersey towns too well.
Well, on the opposite side of Staten Island from New Jersey is Long Island. And as far out east as you could possibly go is where our next guest hails from, Lee Zeldin, Congressman, 1st District in Suffolk County. We were told by the experts and media that his seat was vulnerable. And yet, Lee Zeldin, who delivers time and time again for the people of Suffolk County, won by, I think it was almost 8 points. Lee, good morning. Thanks for coming.
Joe, it's good to be back with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, first of all, Happy New Year to you and your family. I know your family is tremendously important to you, and I hope you had a wonderful Hanukkah, and I hope you have a great New Year.
Yeah, no, same to you. It's great. I just got back from the Middle East, fourth consecutive Christmas spent with the troops abroad. I appreciate the Happy Hanukkah. You know, one of the advantages of being one of just a few Jewish representatives in Congress has been able to spend all these Christmases each year with the troops abroad, and morale is high. And I'll tell you, it really is a privilege to be able to tell them firsthand how much we love them.
Well, that's wonderful, and I'm sure as someone who is a veteran yourself, can bond with them in a way that many others can't. And I think a lot of your constituents appreciate what you do. I was going to talk to you about the shutdown, but let me ask you about Syria. I mean, I know you're on the Foreign Affairs Committee. How is the reaction from the soldiers and airmen that you met overseas to the decision to change our policy in Syria?
You know, it's interesting. They're very focused on their mission, their tactical mission. They're not thinking strategically as far as, you know, big decisions that get made out of the Pentagon or from the White House. They are in their chain of command, focused on their duties that day and doing their job as exceptionally as possible. So, it was pretty interesting. I mean, in my interactions with them, they didn't really weigh in strongly one way or the other as far as what really is a massive debate here at home with really big policy shifts in Syria and Afghanistan and elsewhere. So, it was there were a couple times where I broached a topic where it kind of fit in that particular meeting. And I'll tell you, our service members, our soldiers, our Marines, airmen, everyone I was, the sailors, everyone I was interacting with, I was just very focused on their own individual job.
Well, you talked about doing their duty, and you as a member of Congress have your duty, and one of those duties is to fund the government. So let's talk about that. I mean, why have Democrats, first of all, in your opinion, why have they made this 180-degree turn on funding border security?
Because the president wants it.
And because the president is named what?
Because President Trump says that he wants it. They don't want to give President Trump a win. There's a resistance playbook where they oppose, resist, obstruct, impeach everything and anything. And that is maybe their highest profile tactic that they used to successfully regain control of the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi's focus right now isn't on a vote to reopen government. Her focus is on a vote on January 3rd to become Speaker of the House. Once she can get that vote behind her, I would suspect she'll pass some type of a continuing resolution that won't include the border wall funding. But if we want to really boil down to why do they have such a different position on border security than what they had in the not-too-distant past, it's because President Trump wants it and they don't want to give him a win.
So how do you think the shutdown ends? I mean, how does the dynamic change, sort of from an insider's perspective, once the Democrats do take over on the 4th, I think?
Well, for one, a lot of the Democrats, Pelosi being one of them, and obviously Senator Schumer is the minority leader from representing New York, but the minority leader representing the Senate Democratic Conference. I don't anticipate anything to happen between now and January 3rd. If I understand correctly, Pelosi is on a beach in Hawaii right now while President Trump is sitting there in the Oval Office, canceled his Mar-a-Lago trip, and he's just hard at work, wants to negotiate. I would caution him not to negotiate against himself. He could go from $5 billion to $4 billion to $3 billion if the other side is just going to say no to whatever he says. He might as well just hold his position until Democrats in good faith come forward wanting to have a negotiation. Now, you have a Senate-passed bill that is dead on arrival in the White House. You have a House-passed bill that Senator Schumer says is dead on arrival in the Senate. So what that means when you have a Republican president, a soon-to-be Democratic-controlled House, currently controlled by Republicans, and a Republican-controlled Senate, is that you talk to each other. You try to reach an agreement. You try to get a deal. I don't anticipate anything to happen before January 3rd. As I mentioned, Pelosi, once she gets past her speaker vote, will probably bring up some type of a funding bill that would reopen that part of the government. 75-80% of the government's funded through the rest of the fiscal year. And then you have two other play calls. One is, what does Senator McConnell choose to do? Does he bring up the House-passed bill? I don't think so, because it was clear last week he said that he's not bringing up a bill until there's a three-way agreement. So that means that the House-passed bill that Pelosi would be passing would be dead on arrival in the Senate. But let's just say Senator McConnell passed it. The other play call is, does the president stick to his word and veto that, or does he sign it? So if I had to guess, and there's many different options of how this plays out, what I anticipate happening is the House passing Pelosi's bill, the Senate not passing it, the president saying that he would veto it, and then negotiations in earnest, as you get to the middle to end of this upcoming week, where hopefully there is some type of an actual agreement, deal-making, compromise. That's what the American people want, is for us to be talking to each other, working with each other, and being willing to compromise, and not only funding the entire government, but also ensuring that we are protecting our borders.
Well, Lee, I just want to say, Congressman, good luck to you when this new session starts. I know you got your work cut out for you, and I want to say not just on behalf of your constituents, they like you, but everyone here in New York City appreciates the work you do on behalf of the New York delegation, always being on the right side of issues. I wish you, again, a wonderful new year to you and your family. And right now, let's go to Susie Cerrone with traffic.
Good morning, guys. New problem, an accident in Queens on the Van Wyck North, but at Hillside Avenue. Left lane out on the Van Wyck North, and that's already a five-minute delay. It's been there an hour and counting. That's the crash on the Deegan South, but at 179th Street. Still taking out the right lane. Delays from Fordham Road on down. We've got all the closures in place in and around Times Square, so forget about driving anywhere near Times Square. We've got those closures, by the way, till 1 o'clock tomorrow morning. Live look at the George Lincoln and Holland. They're all up to speed. Pretty light out there. Alternate side in effect. Crash on the Parkway South, but at 132 in Woodbridge, that's on the right shoulder. Now a stall in Sayreville on the Parkway South and approaching the Driscoll Bridge. That's got the left lane out. Still wrapping up this big accident in Harrison, 280 eastbound, just east of exit 16. Just the right lane and the right shoulder getting by totally clear on the New York State Thruway. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
Gregory Floyd, host of Reaching Out, gets answers to the tough questions from people in the know.
With me, we have Mr. Greg Smith of the Daily News. He is the investigative reporter who's been doing all of our reporting on NYCHA over the last 6 years. Now, you mentioned lead paint, which has gotten the biggest story. I believe there was a case filed as early as 2010.
The mayor was confronted by the fact that federal prosecutors had just tried to subpoena a bunch of documents from the Housing Authority related to lead paint. And at a press conference, he said, "We have a rigorous program for abating lead paint, and everything is fine. There's nothing wrong here." A month later, someone in the mayor's office said that that was not true, that they were not in compliance on lead paint inspections.
It's Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, Saturday nights at 7 on AM 970, The Answer.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Here's all you need to do. Your doctor gives you the prescription. You go online to gogomeds.com, put in your information, and make sure to include the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. Your meds are then delivered to your home, and you've saved money. It's that easy. No more waiting, no lines, no copay each month, and best of all, no wandering around the store aimlessly waiting for your prescription to be filled. GoGoMeds.com, the new way to get your medicine delivered right to your door. Remember that getting your prescription filled now means never having to go to a store again. GoGoMeds.com, GoGoMeds.com. Use the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com, promo code MIKE2018.
Portions of this show sponsored by Route 22 Honda.
I love that song, Travelin' Soldier by the Dixie Chicks. You know, I'm not the biggest country fan, but I gotta say, the Dixie Chicks, this one particular song, maybe one or two others, that just really have struck a nice chord with me. If you're just tuning in, this is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo in the morning. We are waiting to be joined by OEM Commissioner Joe Esposito, but he is, of course, a busy man with a lot of emergencies to manage, so perhaps we'll get him on the line in a little bit. Let's talk about 2018 as we prepare to go into 2019 and some of the least talked about stories that we heard about in 2018, but that just simply weren't discussed. And if you want to call in and add to this list, you're welcome to call 877-970-2999. We'll probably come back to this after the break as well in the 9 o'clock hour. But I mean, let's start with the overplayed stories first. I mean, you have the Russia collusion story that just hasn't panned out yet 2 years into it. You have Beto O'Rourke, who was this phenom, who was the second coming, who was supposed to beat Ted Cruz in Texas, of all places, did not happen. You have the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez phenomenon, I guess you would call it, just exploding on the scene. And these are all the stories that were just constantly covered, but not really given any attention to some of the other stories. So let's go. Stories that deserve more attention. How about Michael Avenatti? Not the rise of Michael Avenatti, but the fall of Michael Avenatti. Now, I know you remember Michael Avenatti. I know he was on every single station, every single day, every single hour, all the time. CNN had him almost as an on-air contributor. Someone who was actually considering running for president. He was so popular and so in demand and just so out there. All of a sudden, he gets arrested for domestic abuse, right? Not much coverage. He has to announce that he will not run for president in 2020, as though that was ever going to happen anyway. And the media just left it alone. The guy who we were supposed to take for granted was this harbinger of truth and justice and the anti-Trump way just disappeared, fell off the earth. Another story that we heard about for just a few seconds this year, and it went away. But this is not in any way, being critical of anyone like Michael Avenatti. But we're talking about a school shooting in Santa Fe. A lot of people don't remember this one. We had the Parkland shooting. We had other school shootings. We had the Las Vegas shooting. But in Santa Fe this year in June, five people were killed in a school by a gunman. And it was a story that we just really didn't even hear about. We'll pick up where we left off with these in the next hour. Right now, I want to throw it to Matt with the weather.
Hey, so it's dry right now across the five boroughs, but that won't be the same story later today. Rain will overspread the area this afternoon, then continue tonight where it can be heavy at times leading up to midnight. After a 10 to 12 hour period of soaking rain, precipitation will taper off in the early morning hours. So anyone driving will need to watch for ponding on roadways and poor drainage flooding. Anyone planning to spend the evening outside will definitely need a rain jacket tonight. It will be mild for this time of year with temperatures in the upper 40s this afternoon and this evening, and then they'll rise into the 50s late tonight. Tomorrow, New Year's Day, will be windy and unseasonably mild with a mix of clouds and sun, a high of 59, and then brisk and colder on Wednesday with some sun, a high of 40.
Max, thank you very much, and we are back. Clearly, it's not the A-Squad doing stuff today because you have Matt trying to tell me. So Matt, before the show even began, he gave me this wonderful, wonderful printout with all the specific times, when to throw to news, when to throw to traffic, when to go to break. I mean, to the minutiae of detail. And then he threw in this wrench. He threw in this wrench called the local news, which is just in the middle of a segment. So to get my attention, I mean, he's wearing a pink shirt right now, a salmon. I would say a salmon shirt. So when it's time to go to break, he is flagging me like the guy who's on the end of the tarmac when you take an airplane with his salmon color arms flailing in the wind. But we are getting ready to leave you now for the 8 o'clock hour. We'll be back in the 9. In the 9, we are trying to get Commissioner Esposito on the line still. Again, Commissioner of the Office of Emergency Management, obviously a position that requires some time, not able to take every call. Hopefully we get him. But we definitely have Scott Lebedo, the conservative artist who's been famous for painting flags all around the country. We have Assemblyman today and tomorrow. He'll be Senator-elect James Skoufis of the Hudson Valley, someone who, honestly, I'll say is a friend, although he is a Democrat, and we'll get his take on how the Democrats are going to take over the state Senate and what we can expect and the hopefully not the disasters that will follow. This is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo, along with Matt Sambolin and Charlie Baldy and Matt Conklin, our intern extraordinaire. They're in the fish tank behind us. I want to thank Joe for giving me this opportunity, of course, and of course Jerry Crowley, our manager, and Phil Boyce, the big boss. This is Joe Borelli, and we'll see you in the new hour.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
It's 43 degrees and mostly cloudy. What's going on? We have the answer. It's not going to be cold tonight for the ball drop in Times Square, but it's certainly going to be wet with heavy rains expected to come in. Mayor de Blasio will be pushing the ball drop button. A wage hike takes effect today in New York City. Some city business owners say they may be taking a hike as a result. A woman and her grandchild are dead today following a massive fire that destroyed a New Hyde Park home early yesterday. Cops are looking for the thief who stole a wheelchair from a disabled teenager on Christmas night. The NYPD is looking for six people wanted for taking an MTA bus out on a joyride. Former Mayor Mike Bloomberg says he'll soon announce if he's making a White House run in 2020.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.